We'll be doing a 4-7 mock inventory, and then we'll do 6-7. All right.
Mocking me.
Let's roll.
Hi, my name is Zeth. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Zeth.
Can everybody hear me? Taken from the original log of the USS Constitution on August 23, 1779, she set sail from Boston with 475 officers and men, 49,600 gallons of fresh water, 7,400 cannon shot, 11,600 pounds of black powder, and 79,000 gallons of rum. Permission to harass and destroy English shipping was given, and she headed for Jamaica. Arriving in Jamaica on October 6th, she took on 825 pounds of flour and 68,300 gallons of rum. She sailed toward the Azores, arriving on November 12th, 1779. She was loaded there with 550 pounds of beef and 54,300 gallons of Portuguese wine. Oh, 37 days. On November 18th, she set sail for England. In the ensuing days, she defeated 5 British men of war and captured and scuttled 12 English merchantmen, salvaging 70,000 gallons of rum. By January 27th, her powder and shot were exhausted. Unarmed, she made a night raid up the Firth of Clyde. Her landing party captured a whiskey distillery and transferred 40,000 gallons of whiskey abroad by dawn, 70 days aboard by dawn. Then the USS Constitution arrived in Boston in February 1780 with no food, no cannon shot, no powder, no rum, no whiskey, no wine, and 48,000 gallons of stagnant water.
My name is Courtney. I'm an alcoholic. Before we get into step 6, 7, 8, and 9, the restitution phase, we are going to study and take a mock fourth step, a trial run of the fourth step. Please raise your hand if you need a copy of the fourth step packet.
I handle those.
Okay. We pass them out. The fourth step is simple. All we are doing in this step is answering some questions, writing the answers down in an inventory fashion, reading some information from the big book, reaching a few conclusions, saying a few prayers, reconsidering our own personal positions on resentments, fears, and our conduct over the years past, saving this inventory for future use, and doing all this with the guidance of a sponsor, following the direction from the big book.
The fourth step is not the fifth step. It is not a psychological exam or a graded test. It is not an endeavor to beat yourself up by wallowing in the past, or a step that requires a lot of time. It is not a perfect, in every way, a self-destructive venture, a pity party, nor is it an autobiography, a novel of your whole life story. The fourth step is a fact-finding, spiritual search for the truth. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's break this step down into an understandable basic layout.
Number one.
With the guidance of a sponsor, read the big book, page 63, last paragraph, up to and including page 71.
Number two.
Make several copies each of the inventory worksheet.
Number three.
Answering the question in an inventory fashion, vertically, one column at a time, following the instructions on the worksheet in accordance with the directions from the big book until completed.
Number four.
You are finished with the fourth step. Save it. Move on to the fifth step.
Let's take a look at the inventory worksheets and take a mock fourth step. Take out the sheet titled Resentments. Look for column one. Let's follow along as James, our commentator, reads the first statement.
in dealing with resentment, we set them down on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. Big Book, page 64.
We will need to find out what people, institutions, or principles mean. In a brief and simple way, let's take a look at these three components that are used throughout the fourth step. People, any human being. Institutions, any establishment, organization, facility, practice, system, incorporation, etc. Principles, any fundamental, original, ultimate, natural, essential, spiritual, true, law, theory, doctrine, rule, method, motivating force upon which others are based. You have been supplied with information pertaining to these definitions and also some lists of helpful terms. These sheets will help you in taking the fourth step, supplied in your packet.
In looking at column one, can you think of a person with whom you are angry? If so, write that name in the block. So all of you do at this point in the process is to go back through your life and think of all the people who made you resentful and put one name to each block. Then when you run out of blocks in column number one, you start a new sheet and continue to fill out. Repeat this until you are finished finding people in your past or present using column one only.
Then when we move on to institutions, we do exactly the same process that we just covered. Go back through your life and look for institutions with whom you were angry. Put this information in column number one also. And finally, for column number one, we do precisely the same thing with principles.
If this was a real step four, we would have a stack of inventory worksheet for resentment. With column number one filled to the max, the name of people, titles of institutions, and terms of principles, keep in mind that we are going to have leftover that we forgot to list. We will take care of them later on in step 10. So don't wallow around wasting time.
Before we go any further, we need to explain this inventory process, one column at a time. Vertically, no matter how intelligent or mentally coordinate we are, people simply do a more thorough, searching, less confusing, honest job when they keep it simple. The Big Book tells us on page 23, the main problem centers in his mind rather than his body. And if this is true, then we had better keep an open mind and try to follow some directions. Let's move on.
Column 2, as in column 1, is to be completed in the same manner. In an inventory fashion, vertically one column at a time. In looking at column number 2, can you think of the reason why you were angry at the items in column number 1? Again, as in column number 1, go back through your life and answer this question a block at a time. Now in column number 3, the only thing we do differently is place a check mark in the appropriate block, keeping in mind that not every person, institution, or principle will relate to all the injuries across the board.
Let's continue to move forward into the solution. At the bottom left portion of this page, we are directed to number 4, which reads, 4, we went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. Remember that it's progress, not perfection, and participation, not anticipation. Next, we read and follow along from the Big Book, page 65, line 13, which is found on the next inventory worksheet. Resentment, page 2. What are we about to study in the precise information that we need to consider carefully?
Big Book, 65, 66, 67, the problem is explained. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore at ourselves. Warning, but the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. In war, the victory only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. It is plain that all life, which includes deep resentment, leads only to futility and unhappiness. Warning, to the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile?
But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal.
Come in. Is this where we are?
For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the Spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. Warning, and with us, to drink is to die.
If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison.
The solution is given. We must accept and change our attitude and rely on God.
We turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look for it from an entirely different angle. We began.
Remember, resentment is wrong judgment.
To see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered. But how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol.
The action we must take and not take.
This was our course. We realized that people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too.
Pray. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, pray.
This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done.
Warning. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least the bottom line is...
Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. For we have not been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick.
The fourth step promise. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically.
Resentment is wrong judgment or wrong judging on our part. Consider this, 95% of what put us here never happened. And if we did happen, and if it did happen to us, it doesn't matter. What really matters is what we do with it or about it while it is happening to us. And after it happens to us, what did we do? We got angry, resentful, and stayed that way. Now, in the next portion of the process, we will explore exact natures of our wrongs. This takes place in column number 4 and 5. Let's take a look.
Go to page 3. It reads, Resentment's Inventory.
Page what?
Page 3. Big Book, page 67. By using the information from columns 1, 2, and 3, we continue to move forward into the solution by answering. Column 4. Where have we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? In other words, after considering the information from columns 1, 2, and 3, and looking at this through the conclusion we have drawn by reading the pages from the Big Book, we should now have a different perspective, a clear understanding, and are armed with the facts about our position. We should now agree with the following.
Somewhere along the way in life, we as alcoholics became warped. The things that were instinctual, natural, and good to us got perverted somehow. We went through life with wrong judgment, wrong believing, and wrong action. And people, institutions, or principles did not satisfy us, pleased us, meet our conditions, our expectations, our agenda, threatened us, intimidated and or hurt us, we punished them or act out the role of the victim. We were afraid to appear that we had anything wrong with us, that we had any problems. We would find a good reason for why we were right or why people, institutions, or principles were wrong. Because we rather not be wrong. It's that simple. Let's move on. Begin with the top of page 3, resentment.
Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. Go to column number 4. Answer column 4 in an inventory fashion. When finished, move on to column 5. Where were we to blame? Our wrongs, our faults, our own mistakes.
By this time, you ought to have a real good understanding of how to do the 4-step inventory process. Let's continue and listen to this panel mock example of the resentment worksheet in its entirety. Okay, column number 1. I'm resentful at Dad and Robert. Column number 2, cause. He wasn't around when I needed him. He had very little time or attention for me. Column number 3, affects my security, ambition, personal relationship, my pride. Column number 4, where had I been? I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened in my attitudes, the way I treated, the way I avoided, and the way I tried to get even with my father. He was wrong. I was right. Column number 5, where was I to blame? I would come up with alibis, real or imagined, so I wouldn't spend time with him when he did try to do so with me. I blame him for everything wrong in my life. I drank to oblivion and stayed resentful. I never tried to work things out with him.
Here is an example of institutions. Column 1, I'm resentful at Catholic school. Column 2, the cause. Too many rules and regulations. It was no fun. The teachers were unfair. The students made fun of me. Column 3, affects my self-esteem, security, ambitions, personal relations, pride. Column 4, where had I been wrong? I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened by my irresponsible, immature, and defiant attitudes and actions. I treated fellow students, teachers, assignments, rules, and regulations with total disregard and adversity. Column 5, where was I to blame? I wasted time, resources, and took everything for granted. I lived by my own agenda. I was lazy, I drank at school, and abused manipulated, and broke the rules on purpose. I was a professional victim and victimizer.
Here is an example of principles. Column number one, I'm resentful at the principle competition. Column two, the cause. I was never good enough. It was always embarrassing and too challenging. I feared confrontation and exposure. I hated to lose. Column three, affects my pocketbook, self-esteem, security, ambitions, personal relationships, pride. Column four, where had I been? I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened by being passive and aggressive. I lived the role of a victim or a victimizer. My agendas, wants, and desires were based upon ignorance and contempt. I lived a fear-based life, serving only one thing, me. Column number five, where was I to blame? I would lie and cheat so I could win. I would either run and hide or stay and fight. I'd never compromise. I was full of fear. I was always talking the talk, but never walking the walk. I anticipated and hardly ever participated. I was two-faced, an actor. I drank over it to escape and or to deal with it.
Let's move on to fears. Keeping in mind that this meeting is not a question and answer form. If you do have some question, write them down and submit them to your sponsor. Go to Fear Inventory, page 1. The Big Book simplifies everything when it comes to our fears. See if you can draw some conclusion about your position on fears as we read.
Fear, Big Book, pages 67 and 68.
This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seemed to cause more trouble.
The directions for the fear inventory.
We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them.
The action we must take and not take. The solution is given. Accept and change our attitudes and rely upon God.
Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so.
The bottom line is fear is wrong believing. Let's continue if we have taken steps 1, 2, and 3.
For we are now on a different basis. The basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us, and we humbly rely on Him. Does He enable us to match calamity with serenity?
Warning.
We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do.
Pray.
We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear.
The kind of fears that the step four inventory process deal with are a specific kind of fear. All human beings have fears, instinctual fears that we are all
born
with, these fears are reasonable. They motivate us and protect us. The fears that we need to consider in step four are the kinds that stifle us, that destroy us, the kind of fears that we are taught and instilled with, homegrown fears. They are lies that we tell ourselves and or have been told, and also the denial of the truth. A definite wrong believing that designed to destroy and or kill us. So basically, we need to look at the wrong believing and the lies and denials that we have been living with and throughout our alcoholic careers and life. Here are some examples of the kind of fears that we are talking about.
Whether it be a person, institution, or principle, have you ever made statements or perhaps had these kinds of conversations with yourself? What are they going to do with me? What's going to happen if I do that? Poor me. Why me? I can't. I'll never make it. I'll never survive that. I'm no good. A loser. I'll show you a thing or two. That's beneath me. I refuse to do it. What if I lose my job? How would I ever make it? Fear is cunning, baffling, and powerful. We must review them, get them on paper, and honestly face them. Let's go to page number 2, column number 1, and answer the statement. We reviewed our fears thoroughly.
Go back through your life and think of any people, institutions, or principles that you fear. Put those items in column number 1. And in column 2, answer accordingly. The question, why we had them, one column at a time, one item at a time, vertically until columns number 1 and 2 are completed. Listen as we read from our mock examples of the fears inventory worksheet.
Fears inventory, pages 67 and 68. Column 1, we reviewed our fears thoroughly. People, childhood bully, Danny Diamond. Institutions, prison, principles, the Ten Commandments. Column 2, we asked ourselves why we had them. What will he do to me if he catches me? What will everyone think and say about me if he beats me up? I'm a coward, a weakling, no good, I'll never survive this. What would happen to me there? Will they beat me, rape me, what else? What about all the other things people tell you about? I'd never make it, I'd die there for sure. I'll go to hell for all eternity if I break them and sin. I'll be punished and have to live the rest of my life in a living hell. I'm a bad person and God will hate me if I break them. I must be perfect or else.
Fear is silly. It's in our heads. It's wrong believing. It's believing a lie. It's denying the truth. It is relying on self rather than relying on God. Pray or be prayed. Our ideal did not work, but the God ideal did. Our troubles we think are of our own making. Selfishness, self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles. We can now see how ridiculous our alcoholic fears are and have been. Fear is simple. Alcoholics are complicated.
True. There are many kinds of harms done that have occurred over the years past. Sex is one of them. It is singled out because it is instinctual, controversial, and above all else, it is common ground for all alcoholics, all human beings. The whole point is told to us by the Big Book when it comes to our own conduct over the years past. It tells us, in other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. With any harmful conduct, we apply the solution from the pages of the Big Book. Let's move on to page number 1, the sexual inventory. The problem is explained, the bottom line. Now about sex. Many of us needed an overhauling here. But above all, we tried to be sensible on this question. It's so easy to get way off the track. Here we find human opinions running to extremes. Absurd extremes, perhaps. One set of voices cry that sex is a lust of our lower nature, a base necessity of procreation. Then we have the voices who cry for sex and more sex. We bewail the institution of marriage, who think that most of the troubles are of the race are traceable to sex causes. They think we do not have enough of it, or that it isn't the right kind. They see its significance everywhere. One school will allow man no flavor for his fare, and the other would have us all on a straight pepper diet. We want to stay out of this controversy. We do not want to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be humans if we didn't. What can we do about them?
The directions are given.
We reviewed our conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or just inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. In this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. We subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not?
The solution is given, prayer. We must change our attitudes and conduct our actions.
We ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised and loathed.
Warning.
Whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in doing so. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem.
Prayer.
In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it.
Warning.
God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with others is often desirable, but we let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice.
Warning.
Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we are going to get drunk? Some people tell us so. But this is only a half-truth. It depends on us and our motives.
Prayer.
If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgeven and we'll have learned our lesson.
Warning. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. We are not theorizing. These are facts of our experience. To sum up about sex. Prayer.
We earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing.
The cure-all.
If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge, when to yield would mean heartache.
Let's move on to the next page, number 2, Big Book, page 69.
We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. We got this all down on paper and looked at it.
Again, keeping in line with the directions, we answer one column at a time, vertically, thinking of people, institutions, or principles in an inventory fashion. We consider column 1, It asks, where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Family. Number two, whom have we hurt? Mom, Dorothy. Three, did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Yes, suspicion and bitterness. Where were we at fault? I stole and forged checks. 250, lied about it, and never paid her back. What should we have done instead? Paid my own debt and consequence, sober, responsible son, paid back the 250 and apologize. Okay, and then we have the banks, which is an institution. Whom have we harmed? Manager, Bill. Did we unjustifiably arouse suspicion or bitterness? Yes, bitterness. Where were we at fault? Jeopardized his job by manipulating our friendship to get cash advances on credit cards. I lied. What should we have done? Use cards responsibly. Apologize and respect the friendship and marriage. Whom have we hurt? Wife, Donna. Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness? Yes, all of the above. Where were we at fault? Ruined the marriage. Lied. Stole thousands. Cheated. Led her on. Use her. Abuse our friendship and drank throughout. What should we have done instead? Stay sober. No marriage, just friend. Apologize and pay back the thousand.
Consider this equation to step four. An alcoholic minus alcoholic equals an IC. IC described as being what we alcoholics are left with when we get to step four, which is that we are abstinent but still, according to the big book, throughout. Unmanageable, powerless, insane, beyond human aid, obsessive, vain, abnormal, bodily and mentally different, illusional, delusional, and many other things. The whole problem comes down to this. In step four, we did and probably still have wrong judgment, wrong believing, and wrong actions. Until we take ourselves through the rest of the 12 steps, we are simply living with untreated alcoholism, and we'll try the old game again.
You should now have an understanding of who, what, when, where, and how, why, and why of the fourth step, and its direction from the big book. A definite and valuable example of the inventory process. If you are still confused or perhaps just not sure, keep coming back. Remember, it's not important that you feel great and totally grasp step four, in order to complete it. Take a risk and see what happens. We learn by doing, not by feelings. And hopefully, you will be amazed before you are halfway through. It's quality, not quantity. Progress, not perfection. We must be rigorous, honest, or we become rigorous, mortis. Rigor mortis. Hey, play on words there. Play on words.
If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. We have listened to the people we have hurt by our conduct and are willing to straighten out the past if we can. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from Him. if you have already made a decision and an inventory of your gross or handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself.
Next, we'll move on to 6, 7, 8, and 9.
That's it. I'll see you.